you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome to the show, everyone. Happens to be the 3rd of June, 2009. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning out there, at least out here in the desert where I am. It's very cloudy. There's a little bit of moisture in the sky. It's a lot cooler because we've been baking for the most part the last 3 weeks or so in near 100-degree temperatures. We still got a good 15, maybe 20 degrees to go. Anyhow, I'm glad everybody's here. We've got several things to go over, not the least of which is this issue that happened, this religious murder that happened outside of the recruiting center and this last Monday, where a converted Muslim went to an Army recruiting center, Army-Navy career center, actually, is where it was, in Little Rock, Arkansas, and shot two of the armed service members who were outside, one of which was killed. So this was directly said to be a killing based on the religious beliefs of the murderer for crimes that these guys had committed in the past. Now, let me read you just a bit of a story. A converted to Islam occurrence, I'm sorry, let me change that. A converted to Islam accused of having political and religious motives in a deadly Arkansas military center shooting pled not guilty to capital murder Tuesday and was ordered held without bond. Thank you for that. One soldier died and another was wounded. And what police say was a targeted attack by Abdulkahim Majahuhid Muhammad, 23 years old, and he killed a couple of guys who were U.S. forces. Muhammad, an American citizen who is a convert to Islam and previously was known as Carlos Bledsoe, already had been under investigation by the FBI at the time of the shootings. Muhammad was charged on Monday's death of Private William Long, 23, outside the Army-Navy Career Center, which handles recruiting in Little Rock, Arkansas. A prosecutor said Muhammad admitted shooting Long and another soldier, quote, because of what they had done to Muslims in the past. Private Long and Quentin Ezwagaldwa, 18, had recently completed basic training and had never seen combat. Ezwagaldwa was in stable condition at a hospital. The other guy, Private William Long, died. An FBI Joint Terrorist Task Force based in the southern U.S. reportedly had been tracking Muhammad after he traveled to Yemen and was arrested and jailed there for using a Somali passport. An official told the Associated Press about that information. The probe had been in its early stages and based on Muhammad's trip to Yemen, ABC News reported. While there, Muhammad, who was born and raised in Tennessee, studied jihad with the Islamic scholar, according to jihadwatch.org. He moved to Little Rock in April. So this guy, former Christian, converts to Islam, goes to Yemen, learns about the jihad, studies the jihad, comes back, and tries to murder U.S. service people who are not even in a theater of combat. Kills one, injures the other. Admits to having done it, but pleads not guilty to capital murder. When are we going to strictly identify the problem and face it head on without playing all of these BS games? Without quote-unquote profiling. More when we return.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. We've been discussing this this converted Muslim who went and killed an American serviceman and did his best to kill another and probably would have killed, tried to kill many more. And essentially what was a drive-by shooting, a very cowardly act. So I am just one of these kinds of guys that gets absolutely, totally, I don't know how to say pissed off without actually saying it, so I'm just going to say pissed off. When the U.S. government and the people charged with the security of the United States from terrorists, which would be at this point in time the FBI, however, all law enforcement, for not properly identifying people or failure to do anything about identified people who are or could be terrorists. I'll give you a perfect example. I took a flight in 2002. It was in July of 2002. And in front of me in line going through the security checkpoints were two guys who were Middle Eastern, had the full scruffy-looking, disgusting beard, the goofy-looking hat thing that they wear that's not exactly a turban but kind of a hat. And it sits on their head like a bunched-up towel that belongs in the laundry. And, you know, they were both speaking Arabic, not a word of English. And they looked goofy. Quite honestly, they smelled funny. They were right in front of me. And as we went through the checkpoint, these guys went absolutely unabated. This was still at the time when we had National Guard at the checkpoints, as you'd go through, you know, the security checkpoints at the airport. Still had National Guard standing there with M16s, although nothing in the chamber and a little tab coming out. Lovely. Let's just show everybody the gun's not loaded. You know, these guys went through and no problem at all. I had to go through the extra screening process. And this is, I guess I had the ticket that had the little number on it that says, make sure you overly screen this guy. So I'm going through, they overly screen me. They go through all of my bags, all, you know, everything with me, anything in any pockets, all that stuff. Then we get to the counter at the gate where you actually pick your ticket up or get, I guess we had our boarding passes but not our seat assignments. I had to go and get the seat assignments. So these guys are, again, there are a few people in front of me now because I was delayed. And they get their seat assignments, no big deal. When I go through, they actually wand me again. Okay, great, lovely. Now, I had at the time a Department of Defense security clearance. Matter of fact, it's still good today. But I had my DOD security clearance, former law enforcement. As a matter of fact, I could have had a letter from my DOD existence that says I'm allowed to carry a gun on the plane based on what I did at the time as a contractor for them. But no, I didn't have that. Then before we board the plane, they look at me again. These guys are sitting there doing their thing. So, you know, I am not – it's because we have this whole issue with the word profile. Oh, you can't profile this or profile that or profile the other. All right? Here's the thing. We know – we absolutely know that Middle Eastern men from Arabic countries of the Muslim faith between the ages of 18 and 32 years old are the general area of almost every Islamic fundamentalist terrorist act in the world. We know that. History has proven that. Intelligence tells us that because they recruit those people. Those people volunteer within that sect. These two guys absolutely fit that picture. Now, if I was taking a hop from Vegas to L.A., I wouldn't have worried about it. It's a smaller plane, not that much fuel on board. You know, and why take something like that? The thing that I had a real problem with was we were flying across country, just as what happened on 9/11. Now, I wasn't overly concerned about it. I was sitting a little further back from these guys from their assigned seats so I could actually see them. So if something were to go down, I had a couple things with me that I had on my person that were not illegal to have. One of them being a flashlight with a metal bell on the end of it, a small one. And I had been at the time doing a bunch of training for things such as this. So I was relatively comfortable. There's only two. It was a rather full flight. Didn't completely fit that profile. But I was a little bit ticked off that they were looking at me and not these guys. Hey, now, you've got this other guy who, another yet Mohammed, whatever the heck his name was. God, I'm just going to refer to the guy as Carlos Bledsoe because his Islamic name is too difficult for me to pronounce. So Carlos Bledsoe, the murderer of American servicemen in Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, they say that Islam is the religion of peace. Now, as Christians, we have the Ten Commandments. In the Islamic world, they have the five pillars of Islam. Five pillars of Islam, we have Ten Commandments. They are tit for tat when it comes to their meaning. Now, I am going to recite to you what I remember from, like, my freshman year in high school, many years ago, when I learned the five pillars of Islam. Okay, number one, there is only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. That's the first one. Number two, pray five times daily facing Mecca. Okay. Number three, give money to the poor. Number four, fast during the holy month of Ramadan. And number five, make a pilgrimage at least once in your life to Mecca, the holy city of Mecca. Those are the five pillars of Islam. Now, where in there does that come to be the religion of peace? I mean, when we've got the Ten Commandments, we've got things like thou shalt not murder, and, be kind to thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, things like that. Those are actually good standing people sorts of thing. Where in those five things does it say be good? It doesn't. It doesn't. Now, true Islam actually preaches a lot of peace and getting along. However, true Islam is not what's running the Islamic world right now. In the Islamic world, there's fundamentalists who are on top of this deal. And they are preaching you first invite people to become Muslim. If they don't accept, then you force them to become Muslim. If they refuse that and you're not able to force them, then you kill them. That's where the jihad comes out. The jihad is ask them, force them, or kill them. But one way or another, they're either going to be Muslim or they're going to be dead. That's what the jihad preaches. That's what some of the jihad in some of the mosques here in the United States preach. Now, I've got to tell you, our Second Amendment rights are under attack like nothing else. I've got a story to read to you that's going to blow your mind out of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that flat out denied Second Amendment rights just earlier this week. However, the First Amendment, which never seems to be under attack, freedom of religion, we have people dying or they're preaching the killing of people right here in this country. In Islamic mosques, Muslim mosques, they're preaching the jihad inside of these. And the FBI knows which ones it's going on at. And it's being allowed to happen because they have a First Amendment right to practice their religion. You know something? I have a First Amendment right to free speech, but I cannot profess things such as absolute mayhem and disorder, like, you know, they say the whole shouting fire in a movie theater sort of thing, that old cliche, because that's a violation of First Amendment rights. However, wouldn't you believe that if a religion that is freely practicing preaches the killing of others that are not involved in that religion, that also is a little beyond the scope and the realm of the First Amendment? We need to put an end to this sort of practice, certainly in the U.S. within our borders. I'm a big advocate that we do not need to be the world police. I'm a big advocate we never should have been the world police. And we certainly don't need to be the world police now. And now you've got Obama, speaking all nice and soft and gentle and wanting to open dialogue with everybody. That's great. But at the time you want to speak nice, soft dialogue to people who have otherwise been aggressive to us for a very long time, you've got to be expected that they might just sucker punch you in the mouth if they give you an opportunity, because there's been a lot of time and hostility. You understand what I'm saying? And for us to ignore what's going on with this preaching of death, dismemberment, mayhem, forced religious practice that's happening in this country, or people that go and practice that and then come to this country, that is not within the scope of the First Amendment, I got to tell you. If there happens to be different portions of the Constitution where there is an amendment or a section of it written, and there are exceptions to the rule, preaching to kill Americans within American sovereign soil has got to be and is beyond the realm, beyond the scope of anyone's First Amendment right. If I open a church and as part of the church I say, you know what, we're going to go cut the heads off of illegals, or we're going to go hang anybody who commits a felony, that would not be tolerated. This should not be tolerated. We've got more coming up based on the Second Amendment ban, which was upheld by the Seventh Circuit when we returned from the break. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. You know, before we get to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals denying Second Amendment rights, I have a movie that I saw last night. I wanted to see this in theaters. However, my schedule didn't work out. I got this movie that stars Daniel Craig. Now, for those of you who don't know, Daniel Craig is the guy that is the new James Bond. He was in Quantum of Solace, and then before that, Casino Royale. Pretty decent actor, especially when it comes to action, and eliciting kind of a stone-cold guy that can get emotion out of others. It's called Defiance. And Defiance is based on a true story, rather incredible story. During the Second World War, Jews in Germany that were being hunted down, they saw what was going on. So it started off with a group of brothers that ended up in a forest not far from their village, and they were hiding out after their families were murdered and the village was essentially slaughtered. And then others found their way in, and then these guys somewhat recruited more and more people. And they had to move a few times. They ended up getting some guns, being under attack, repelling attacks from small skirmishes, and lived in the forest until the Second World War was over, going so far as to build shelters, a school, a nursery, a church. They were really survivalists. And the idea of this, where you have citizens that are being targeted, regardless of what reason why, in this case, obviously because they were Jewish and it was Nazi Germany when they were going after their genocide. It could have been anybody, and in this country it could be. As a matter of fact, it's going to be people like you and I, because we already know we've had the right-wing extremist letter put out. I mean, they couldn't profile the guys in front of me getting onto a plane that were rather ragged-looking, disgusting-smelling, Arabic-speaking, turban-wearing Muslims that were in front of me getting onto an aircraft just months after 9/11. They couldn't profile them. But yet, now Department of Homeland Security, that was created because of guys like that, can profile guys like me and like a lot of the listeners. So that profile can come. So anyhow, these people all banded together, and essentially they set up perimeters and securities, did what they needed to for food, and just pretty much wanted to let this thing ride out. Not incredibly aggressive when it came to getting stuff. Fairly respectful for others. However, there was some very interesting scenes. I recommend it, Defiance. If nothing else, it is a good platform to consider things that might be needed or the way that certain things might go, because, again, it's based on a true story. Provided the second armed American Revolution hits this country with anything that might be a catalyst, be it huge gun control or financial collapse or absolute restrictions on travel, any of these things that would be essentially unconstitutional or government-sponsored, like the financial collapse, which is literally imminent at this point in time, that the government goes in and gives money to the White House, and then the White House single-handedly takes us into socialism is beyond me. As a matter of fact, I just read yesterday, as a matter of fact, I read it off the RBN website, about how the pension funds of the UAW workers at GM are going to be essentially vacated, and that money is going to go to a couple of banks who are going to get 100% return on the loans that they made to GM, which is absolutely against the law. There were laws passed that deny that. There's no way that workers can have their money taken, because essentially those pensions are proceeds from their earnings, and you cannot steal from workers to give to another entity. And the guy that was appointed to head this thing by Barack Obama has suggested exactly that in bankruptcy court, to vacate the pensions and give it to his buddies at Citibank and whatever the other institution is, the other financial institution. So they wouldn't be affected by the bankruptcy at all. They'd get all their money back. So you can see how this whole, it's essentially a financial and socialist and Marxist conspiracy that's going on with this. And I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but when everything absolutely paints the perfect picture, it's no longer a conspiracy. It is a work of art in motion to illegally turn this country into a socialist state. It's incredible to me that this goes on. Anyhow, that's essentially the sorts of things that were going on in World War II during Nazi Germany. This is what these people did to survive and actually flourish, to the point where when the war was over, they started with four brothers. When the war was over, they had 1,200 people living in a community in the forest. 1,200. And the two main brothers that actually were part of this ended up in the United States post-World War II, in New York, owned a trucking business, worked together for the rest of their lives, and never sought any sort of recognition on it. So I recommend it. Defiance, starring Daniel Craig. It's an excellent movie, and it might very well be good information for you and I, provided this thing in the U.S. goes the direction it seems to be going. We're going to hit the riot of the day when we return. It's all about the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and how they are denying Second Amendment rights in their jurisdiction. Stick around. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Let's start a riot.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Out of Chicago, we all know that Chicago has some of the most restrictive gun laws in the country. They have a ban on handguns, period. That's the way it goes. So in light of the D.C. versus Heller case, where the Supreme Court ruled that the District of Columbia's handgun restriction violated the Second Amendment rights, there was a little clause at the very end of the Second Amendment. Let me read it here. It says, shall not be infringed. Okay. So the city of the District of Columbia, their city council, infringed on those rights. Supreme Court said, you can't do it. So the NRA took it up in Chicago with their handgun ban. Let me read you the story. A federal appeals court has upheld ordinances barring the ownership of handguns in most cases in Chicago and suburban Oak Park, Illinois. The three-judge panel of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said yesterday, the Second Amendment guaranteeing the right to bear arms is not an adequate basis for lawsuits attacking local gun ordinances. So the Constitution of the United States is not an adequate basis to challenge a city law. The NRA argued that the Second Amendment makes such ordinances unconstitutional. Wow, imagine that. And they do. The Supreme Court had ruled in a District of Columbia case that the Second Amendment entitles people to keep handguns at home for self-protection. The appeals court upheld dismissal of the lawsuit on the grounds that the District of Columbia, unlike Chicago and Oak Park, is a federal jurisdiction. Can you believe? Because the city of the District of Columbia is a federal jurisdiction. It still has a city council. It still has a mayor. That city council and mayor passed gun ordinances, anti-gun ordinances, just like Chicago, just like Oak Park. Whether D.C. is within the boundaries of a state or not, and whether Chicago and Oak Park are or are not, shouldn't make any difference in the world. It absolutely baffles me when you get liberal judges that say portions of the Constitution don't apply to citizens of the United States if they live within a state or a county or a city, and that state, county, or city wants to ignore the Constitution. Explain that to me. How do we get these judges off the bench? We can easily enough vote out any member of Congress. We can easily enough vote out any president. We should be able to easily enough get rid of any judges. When they are appointed for a term of life, that is ridiculous to me. Absolutely ridiculous. If they're appointed for, how do we get rid of, what is the process for getting rid of judges that obviously have no grasp that the Constitution of the United States applies to all U.S. citizens and all U.S. citizens within the boundaries of the United States, regardless of where they reside? How simple is it to understand that? Read the writings of the Founding Fathers. Hell, read the Constitution itself. Read the Articles of Confederation, the predecessor to the Constitution. Read the Declaration of Independence and why it was written. And you'll have an understanding about this. If you don't understand the Constitution, then you're not qualified to rule on it. So abstain from the ruling. You know, I'm sorry, I'm on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. I really don't know the Constitution. I never read the writings of the Founding Fathers, the Article of Confederation. I'm not even that familiar with the Declaration of Independence. I've heard of all these things. I haven't studied them. But, so, you know, I'm sorry you find somebody else. I'm really kind of stupid. I could read up on something, say, on like a personal injury case that went awry and it's gotten this far. Or maybe where, like, there's a malpractice suit or something, because I used to be in that. I was kind of an ambulance chaser myself. But the Constitution, I'm really not that up on. The foundation for all law in this entire country, the actual bedrock for all law and organization of the government, I really don't have a grasp on, so I can't sit in on this one. I'm really not qualified. Why are you on the bench anyhow? How do we get rid of these judges? Does anybody know? What is the process for saying these judges or this judge or whatever is so miserably out of touch and so miserably anti the U.S. Constitution when the Supreme Court has already ruled and now a court under that, an appeals court, rules against what their bosses said? You've got to be kidding me. How do we get rid? What is the process? Somebody tell me, and don't tell me a bullet. That's not the answer. There's got to be a way to get rid of these judges. So, you know, look, this person shouldn't be there. Perfect example, Sonia Sotomayor, a nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, has had 6 cases that she's ruled on go to the Supreme Court. 5 of the 6 have been overruled. The one that wasn't overruled, she did write an opinion on the case, and the justices of the Supreme Court disagreed with her reasoning and her opinion. She's batting 0 at the Supreme Court level, yet she's being considered for a post at the Supreme Court when nearly 80% or more of the organizations she belongs to are either specifically for women or Hispanic, sexist and racist-related organizations. We talked about it yesterday. If you didn't hear the show, go to 2aradio.com, click on the archives, and listen to yesterday's show. She was the riot of the day. You've got to be kidding me that the courts can't get this right. The courts can't seem to understand that the Second Amendment applies. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Where that comma is between state and the right is otherwise considered, if anybody knows anything about punctuation, grammar, and writings in the English language, it's comma. You may as well just stick the word and in there. That's what it means. So well-regulated militia being necessary to security of the state and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I wish they'd written that 3-letter word, or even put the ampersand symbol if it existed back during the late 1700s. If they put the word and in there, we'd probably be without this. Shall not be infringed. Chicago and Oak Park infringe on that right. The entire state of Illinois infringes on that right. The entire state of California infringes on that right. Still today, even after the ruling of D.C. versus Heller, the District of Columbia infringes on that right because they're modeling their laws after those in California, which are all about infringement. Then we've got the Ninth Circuit out of California, which encompasses the western United States, including Hawaii, I believe Alaska as well. I think it's Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California, Hawaii, Nevada, Arizona, I believe, possibly Idaho as well, is the Ninth Circuit, is where the Ninth Circuit encompasses. And they said you can invoke your Second Amendment rights. You can invoke them if you believe that a state, county, or city is otherwise infringing on your rights to keep and bear arms. Then you've got the Seventh Circuit out of Chicago that encompasses that region of the country around Illinois, Wisconsin, such as Ohio. They are under the Seventh Circuit. And now the Seventh Circuit says, you know what? The Heller case doesn't apply because that was specifically about the District of Columbia, which is a federal jurisdiction. And now we're talking about cities that are within counties, which are within states. And Yes, they actually can pass restrictive gun laws. Imagine. Totally opposite of the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is widely thought of, widely regarded as the most left-wing, out-of-touch circuit court of appeals in the entire land. A few years back, they had 18 cases appealed to the Supreme Court. 15 of those 18 were reversed at the Supreme Court. That's how out of touch the Ninth Circuit is. Yet they even had liberal judges that got it. Shall not be infringed. How can you possibly interpret that as, okay, well, this Constitution says right here, shall not be infringed, right here with the Second Amendment. However, we can infringe it. We can infringe it. Let's look at that. Yeah, because a city passed it. Kicking in on this discussion, we have a caller from Michigan, Dwayne, on line one. Dwayne, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Trying to keep my head screwed on straight. How about you, Dwayne?
Oh, man, I'm trying to do the same thing, but I'm going to explain to you. Everything you say is correct, but what they did was, you know, there's two constitutions, right?
You're talking about the state constitution versus the U.S. Constitution? What do you mean?
Yeah, you got the United States Corporation Constitution. Because what they did was, remember when George Bush said the Constitution is nothing but a damn piece of paper?
Yes.
Okay, now, everybody was flipping out when he said that, but he knew what he was talking about because George Bush knows the secrets, because we look at your driver's license and we look at the birth certificate and everything. Everything is in all capital letters. What they did was they took the original Constitution and they shoved it to the side, and they created a corporation constitution for the United States Corporation. And enough people need to get educated on what's really going on, because what they did was, the United States isn't a country, it's a corporation. Because you notice that all companies and corporations have presidents, vice presidents, treasurers. Now, countries have kings, queens, and princesses.
Monarchies, actually, but I understand. Actually, countries would have more of the, what do they call them up in Canada? They call it the prime minister, right?
Well, Canada is also a corporation, which is owned by the same people who run both parties, like the Democrats and Republicans, because when you understand that when you vote, your vote does not count, because you got these same international bankers who got this criminal Federal Reserve in place that's manipulating everything.
Well, I'm very familiar with that, but the whole idea of the a constitution, a corporate constitution that runs America, I've never heard that. However, if you can steer me in the right direction, I'm happy to look it up.
Okay, you can Google or YouTube United States isn't a country, and you can also put down there U.S. or United States Corporation. And it'll steer you into the right direction, and a lot of stuff will start popping up or whatever. That's the problem, because a lot of people still think that this is a country, and it's not a country, it's a corporation.
That's very interesting. Dwayne, I wrote that down. I'm going to look at it. Let me ask you something. What part of Michigan do you live in?
Muskegon.
Muskegon. Is that anywhere near Detroit?
That's over there by Chicago. We're on the lake.
Okay, all right. I was just kind of curious, because I know that out that in the suburbs of Detroit or within Detroit, they have a massive Muslim population. I was going to ask you if you knew much about that regarding the what I talked about in the first part of my segment.
Okay, well, I know a lot about all of that stuff. And see, the thing about it is, with all of these organizations, what they did was they manipulated people into separating us. That's why you have the blacks against the whites, and also you got, like, all these different religions in the churches. I'm sure you're familiar with the FEMA camps and all of those things,
I'm
right?
Very familiar with everything you're talking about.
Okay, so that's the trick what they did. What they did was they separated us all, you know, so we can fight on what's not, you know, not real issues. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And what you were talking about is correct, but once you understand that they took everything, like if you look at your driver's license, you see it's in all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's in all capital letters is a corpse or a corporation. The whole America, United States, is a fraud. There's a difference between United States of America and America. United States is the corporation, but America is the country. So look up the constitutions and look how they changed the constitution and switched it around. And
I'll do that.
Totally amaze you.
I'll do that. I appreciate you calling in and sharing that information with the listeners. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, and I'm going to be calling you back, giving you more information, and keep you in touch on everything.
Sounds great. And you can also always email me, bill@2aradio.com as well. As a matter of fact, if you're able to send me a link to anything to that email address, I'll find it later today. Thanks, Dwayne.
All right, thanks. Talk to you later, buddy.
All righty, bye-bye. Okay, so thank you very much to Dwayne calling up. I've never heard that about a corporate issue of the Constitution. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to take a look at that. And by the way, Manny, thanks for giving me a heads up on that call. So we're back on this about the two different appeals courts ruling two completely different ways, both on essentially the same Second Amendment issues. If there's an issue on the Second Amendment should first be read. Second, look at any rulings that the Supreme Court has ruled on, and that right there is the guiding light for all other courts, all other judges to rule upon. When I read transcripts where someone is in a court battle over one issue or another, and they say to the judge in front of them, "Judge, this issue has been ruled upon by the United States Supreme Court, and I have the ruling in front of me." And the judge says, "That doesn't partake to any part of this case at all. It is inconsequential in this case." Well, Your Honor, I would have to disagree with you. This exact set of circumstances was already ruled upon. Here's a copy of it. Inadmissible. Can you imagine? That is not the way things are supposed to go. So for the Seventh Circuit to go so far as to say D.C. versus Heller Supreme Court ruled on that because it's a federal jurisdiction, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. That's what doesn't matter. It's a city. The city ruled that you couldn't have guns. Supreme Court said, yes, you can. Chicago says you can't have handguns. Seventh Circuit said, that's okay. Even though the big guys, the ones that we wish we could be, up on the Supreme Court, said you could, we're going to say you can't. So this is destined for the Supreme Court. And if Sotomayor's on the Supreme Court when you hear it, you can bet it's not going to go our way. We need to fight that nomination.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So I protest many times before, before on the show that guns are inanimate objects, and they're the only inanimate object that I'm aware of that people actually put organizations and coalitions against to fight. Now, if a gun is used in a crime, it makes big headlines. And if everybody else who owns a gun is looked at, you know, very through squinted eyes, they're very pointed. They look at us gun owners because we own a gun. We must somehow be attached to this whack job that used a gun in a crime. However, that's the only inanimate object that happens with. Okay, last Friday, two guys from Cleveland deliberately drove a pickup truck into a crowd of people, and they hit three people. Easily could have killed them. Easily could have killed them. But you don't see anybody crowing for vehicle control because of that. You certainly don't see them crowing for vehicle control because drunk drivers will get behind the wheel and kill somebody, or a tire blows and the vehicle rolls out of control and it kills somebody. You don't see people looking for vehicle control. Last Sunday, in an Ohio town, there was a bunch of kids that the cops showed up because they were doing a bunch of underage drinking, partying, and fighting, and a huge drunken brawl ensued. Right? You don't see the Million Mom March going there calling for a ban on alcohol and music. Hey, but a lot of drunken mayhem happened there. And then, when was it? I think it was 2 days ago. I think it was on Monday. There's a guy in Brecksville, Ohio, who went on a stabbing spree. He killed one guy, and three more were seriously injured with a knife. Now, had that guy had a gun and shot those people, everybody in America would have heard about it by now. But it only hit a little bit of a headline, like a small section in one of the papers outside of Cleveland. Now, they happen to have in Ohio the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. However, it doesn't appear as though there's any other form of violence or any other inanimate object which warrants the existence of any other whole entire coalition. Just if it's about guns. More people are killed with knives than guns in this country. More people are killed with contact weapons than guns in this country every single year. But there's no coalitions against it. There just isn't. Now, the gun is the great equalizer. Bad guy comes after me. He's got a gun? I've got a gun. I've always got a gun. And I've got my gun, and I'm trained to use it. Probably, in most cases, much better than he is trained to use it. It's the great equalizer. He's not going to be bringing that attack to me very successfully. He's going to be on the losing end, introducing a deadly force situation to someone who is prepared. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thank you for spending your day with me today. Keep and bear your arms.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.